Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We continue our book reading, When the Moon Split, a biography of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The book has been compiled by Saiful Rahman Mubarak Puri. We continue on page 55. It might seem a little strange to us that the Quraysh would turn so viciously on one of their own. What was so unacceptable about what the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, preached? At the root of all the conflicts between Muhammad, peace be upon him, and the polytheists was the concept of monotheism or tawheed, which the polytheists had corrupted into its antithesis, idolatry. At the same time, they accepted some of the components of monotheism. For example, they accepted the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one in his personal self, attributes and actions. The polytheists also agreed with the Prophet, peace be upon him, on the following points. Allah is the sole creator of the universe. He is the Lord and provider of all beings. He alone gives and takes life, and it is He who makes independent decisions which no one can challenge. However, hand in hand with their belief in Allah's supremacy was their belief that certain individuals held special powers granted by Allah. These individuals, the polytheists claimed, could perform many miraculous feats such as healing the sick and causing barren women to conceive. Some were believed to act as intermediaries. When people prayed to them, these beings supposedly relayed the prayers to Allah. The polytheists then strove to please such people who supposedly held high-ranking stations close to Allah. By pleasing these demigods, they reasoned, one could please Allah. The people conceived many ways to please these friends of Allah. For example, it was a common practice to build shrines over the graves of saints and holy men. People would visit these monuments with the belief that by rubbing the walls of the shrine or by walking around it several times, they could earn the favor of the person in whose honor it had been built. Some even made offerings of produce, goods, gold, and animal sacrifice. These offerings would be given to the shrine attendants, who would then place the objects before the graves or idols. Generally, nothing could be offered directly without the aid of the attendants. However, animals were presented as offerings in a number of ways. Sometimes worshippers would leave the animals free in the name of some holy man in order to seek his pleasure. These animals would graze and roam about at will, revered by the people. Sometimes they carried the animal to the home of the holy man and had it slaughtered there. This, however, was done in the name of the holy man. The polytheists would also organize a fair once or twice a year at shrines dedicated to certain individuals at which people gathered and performed the acts of worship and adoration mentioned above. Such fairs were often scheduled around the death or anniversaries of these saints, and people would journey long distances to attend these gatherings. All these acts of worship and adoration were performed in hopes of pleasing the dead or holy men and winning their intercession. The pagans would address certain saints saying, O Father, answer my request and remove such and such hardship. The polytheists believed that the dead people that they prayed to could not only hear them, but could also answer their prayers with powers given to them by Allah or by interceding with Allah. Such were the practices of the pagans, associating partners with Allah by deifying human beings and inanimate objects, even as they denied his power to resurrect his creation. It was in this citadel of polytheism that the Prophet, peace be upon him, was sent to preach the message of the one God and to teach people of his oneness. Many of the polytheists, however, viewed the message as unreasonable and untrue, and they clung to their own flawed beliefs about the nature of God. Allah says in the Quran, "Has He made all of the gods into one God?" This is something strange. We have not heard of any religion that has only one God. Surely this is nothing but an innovation. Surah 38, verses 5 to 7. Allah engages in debate with the pagans through the verses of the Quran. The pagans were asked how they could tell whether or not a person had been chosen by Allah and actually possessed the power of intercession. For example, how could one be sure that a person who claimed to be close to Allah was telling the truth? Essentially, there are only two ways to determine whether or not such an individual was telling the truth: by possessing knowledge of the unseen or by having access to the divine book. Allah addresses this point in the Quran when he asks, Does the unseen appear before them so that they can record it in their own books? Surah 68, verse 47. Allah continues, If you speak the truth, bring me a book revealed before this one, or some traces of knowledge to support your claim. Surah 46, verse 4. And say, Do you have any proof that you can bring before us? No, because you follow nothing but conjecture and your words are only lies. Surah 6, verse 148. The polytheists admitted that they did not have the knowledge of the unseen, nor could they produce a divinely inspired book. Tradition and the wisdom of their ancestors were their sources of truth. The Quran quotes them as saying, We found our fathers following a certain religion, and we are following in their footsteps. Surah 43, verse 23. These verses highlight the ignorance and helplessness of the polytheists, and Allah makes the matter clear when He says in the Quran, Truly Allah knows, but you know not. Surah 16, verse 74. Referring to saints and intercessors, Allah leaves no doubt about their status. Allah says in the Quran, Verily those whom you pray to besides Allah are servants like you, so call upon them and let them answer if you speak the truth. Surah 7, verse 194. Allah challenges those who still insist they are individuals with special powers who can answer prayers. In verse after verse, Allah emphasizes the futility of praying to anyone other than Him. Allah says, Those whom you pray to other than Allah do not even possess a qitmir or the thin membrane that covers a date stone. Surah 35, verse 13. Allah continues, If you pray to them, they will not hear you. Moreover, even if they did hear you, they could not answer your prayers. Then, on the day of judgment, they will deny that they asked you to worship them. Who can inform you of these things better than Allah? He knows all things. Surah 35, verse 14. Allah continues, Those whom they pray to other than Allah have not created a single thing. In fact, they themselves were created, dead, utterly lifeless. They know not when they will be raised up. Surah 16, verses 20 to 21. And Allah also continues, Do they associate partners with Allah that cannot create anything, partners that were created themselves? These partners cannot help those who pray to them, nor can they even help themselves. Surah 7, verses 191 to 192. The polytheists who lived during the time of the Prophet, peace be upon him, agreed with him that Allah created everything, and that the gods they worshipped created nothing. How was it then, Allah asks them in the Quran, that they worshipped something that had been created, instead of worshipping the one who created everything? The polytheists answered this by claiming that their ancestors had all prayed to other gods beside Allah. These ancestors and the Prophet Muhammad's ancestors were among them who had believed in the power of such gods. In addition, was it not true, they asked, that their ancestors were known for their wisdom and intelligence? How then could one question their religion? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers their argument in the Quran by challenging the ancestors' wisdom in matters of religion. He characterized them as misguided and incapable of understanding, as seen in the following verses. They found their fathers on the wrong path, so they hastily followed their footsteps. Surah 37, verse 69 to 70. Besides insisting on the wisdom of the polytheistic forefathers, the polytheists accused the Prophet, peace be upon him, and the Muslims of disrespect to their gods and threatened them with the wrath of their false deities. Allah says in the Quran, We say that some of our gods have inflicted you with madness. Surah 11, verse 54. In answer to these weak threats, Allah reminds the idolaters of the absolute powerlessness of their gods. Motionless, mute, and defenseless, how could these effigies harm the Muslims or destroy them? Allah says in the Quran, Have they feet to walk with, hands to grasp with, eyes to see with, ears to hear with? Say, Call upon those you claim to be Allah's partners, and then plot against me, and give me no respite. Surah 7, verse 195. Allah sets forth a parable, saying, O people, a parable will be set before you, so listen to it carefully. Those whom you call upon and pray to besides Allah cannot create even a fly. Even if they all gathered for this purpose, and if a fly should snatch anything from them, they would not be able to recover what the fly had taken from them. How feeble is the petitioner! How feeble the petitioned! Surah 22, verse 73. And that brings us to the end of our book reading for today, When the Moon Split, a biography of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. The book has been compiled by Saifur Rahman Mubarakpuri. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.